Hey Pijuju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chumi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! Mm. I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Chumi from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Chumi. And it's an absolute honor to be here, as it has always been the case. This is the platform that we discuss business affairs. It's a platform that we discuss issues of the economy and everything that is affecting our bread and butter. And, you know, it's that time of the evening, it's that time of the early evening that that show looks at where do we get the money from, how do we keep money circulating in our economy, what is the state of global affairs, what are some of the things which are affecting global relations. And, you know, there's a saying to say whatever is happening at the economic front has a direct impact on politics, and the other way around. And those are things that we need to watch out, because you can't be an SME operator who does not understand what politics is looking like. You cannot be a politician who does not understand where the money is coming from, who is funding you, who has interest in the policy that you are making, and what impact are you making to those people who are on the ground. That is why we are always trying to make sure that, you know, when it's coming to politics, when it's coming to the economy, we understand that relationship and we make it easier for you, especially the young ones who are interested in the way Namibia is doing business. We are interested in statistics and everything that deal with you know, a matter of time and development. I'm always indicating to people that no, in the aspect of the discussion that we are pushing through, the discussions that we are bringing about, they are only motivated by one thing. But that one thing that is motivating this discussion is the direction where Namibia is going. There is no one who in Namibia, a true patriotic Namibian, a Namibian who want, you know, to look into the future. There's no Namibian who want the country to fail. There's no Namibia who is very, a Namibian who is very happy with corruptions. There's no Namibian who is very happy with, you know, the state of, you know, undermining the judicial authority, the state of undermining the traditional authority, and the state of undermining progress of development. And there is no Namibian who is very happy when we are always on records, we are always trading for not too good reasons to say Namibia is still the highest unequal country in the world, still graylisted by Financial Action Task Force. Even in 2026, we want to say by May, as is according to the records and prediction, that would be, or that is going to be a history. Yeah, it's the 12th of January 2026. We are saying we are in a month which has many weeks. We are in the month which is 3 months in one, according to how people looked at it. But we are progressing. We are progressing understandably. And like any other day, today we are bringing about the discussion on the ground, especially when we are going to speak about the state of Namibia informal economy, especially looking at 2026. You know, what is the readiness of Namibian government? What is the readiness of business persons? What is the readiness of Namibian young people to continue participating, to continue expanding, to bring about new innovation when it's coming to the informal economy? We speak about new skills. We speak about new technology. We speak about new development and also how to change the game plan, especially when you look at the emergence of technology, the emergence of advanced machines, that is, you know, our computers, that is our manufacturing systems, instruments, apps. And it's quite interesting also to look at how young Namibians also are participating in this aspect. But before you look at that discussion, because it's going to dominate our narrative today, we are seeing a lot of young people, and I want you to listen to this. Yeah, you know, those are the voice of the bundles of joy. The young people are returning back to school. And you're also seeing those who are coming to school for the first time. And I'm seeing a video here. One young boy is crying. He's calling Kukutashia. And in this aspect, you'll be able to see there is a beginning to everything. It's a beginning to everything. That's why we're always cautioning to say, you know, those young ones, especially those who are coming at school for the first time, let us apply patience and let us also understand that everybody was at that stage. Every person was at that stage where you are crying. You don't know for the first time you are coming to a classroom where you have more than 30 young children. You don't even know their faces. But, you know, in the first 2 weeks, it will also become a very beautiful experience, especially if there is no one who can forget his or her first day at school. That's why we are wishing those, particularly those who got placement, to take their education seriously, and also parents not only to be effective at the beginning of the school, but also to be very effective, especially when it comes to continuation of supporting their children, especially when they are focusing on beginning of their academic year. And, you know, it's quite interesting. And also to look at those who did not get their placement, to say there must be a very good cooperation. This thing that we are seeing of parents being turned back, there must be a very good cooperation, especially between parents and also educators. And this is also the time that people must be vigilant enough, especially when it's come to corruption. You really find that there are also those who find loopholes, because when you are in desperate need, there are those who find opportunity within situations. Those that, you know, they can be able to take that chance of getting few coins from you. But do not allow that. But education must be able to continue. And yeah, there's a statement here. And this statement is coming from the Ministry of Education. It's an official announcement to say the official announcement of 2025 NSSCO results, and also NSSCAS examination result will be released tomorrow. And you know, by the Minister of Education, Innovation, Youth, Sport, Art and Culture. That is Dr. Sanet Steenkamp, the Minister of Education. And there will be awards and also head over of gifts and praises, particularly to those best performing students, those best performing regions, and also top performers. And is this time of the year, especially where you'll be able to see the results of your child, result of you know, the effort that you put in there also as a parent, and also the effort that you put there also as an educator, as a school, as inspector of education, as traditional leaders, and also as communities. Because we have this perception that we always put out there, especially when we see a child at the village who did not perform very well. We must be able to say, all of us, we must be able to take the blame. Because if you look at the foundation of education, those scholars and researchers of education will be able to tell you that there are key stakeholders in education of a child. That is a teacher, a parent, a community, and, you know, the government. On top of that, you can put the community leaders, because if you have a child who is drinking alcohol during the time of school, and the community is allowing that to happen, and the community understands that that child is below the age of 18 and is at school, the community also fails that child. If you have a teacher who is only focusing on few children, or focusing on few learners when he is teaching, then you have a teacher to blame too. If you have a parent who is only pay school but is not asking what is going on within children, even if they are abused at school, people do not speak about this. Speak about women, ladies at hostel, and also boys at hostel. who are finding themselves in difficult situations, even in the hands of their educators. That's why we are saying tomorrow those results are not only the result of those children, those learners. And they are the result of the whole Namibia. How did we contribute as a community? How did we contribute as parents? How did we contribute as teachers? We should not just come to the tendency of saying, no, David's family is the one who is failing at the village. Or Francina's, cousin is the one who is failing. But we must be able to, and we must also celebrate those who did well, and also try to find. And that is very important also. Our focus is more on who is number one. Our focus is more on who is number one, who is performing, who's got cum laude, who is the best student in the region. Which is quite interesting to praise the best performers. But little did we forget that you have those children who take time to grasp concept. But these are also some of the rare characters and personality who end up also making it in life. Because if they fail and learn very fast, these are also some of the people that maybe they were not able to fit in the education system. Maybe the mechanisms that were placed there were not able to grasp their gifts, their talent, their intellectual capacity. And at the end of the day, they end up not making it, because I was reading somewhere, especially looking at the Journal of Human Psychology, and also looking at the history of gifted children. You find it very interesting, information there, especially when you look at the history of gifted students. You find very interesting observations and results, particularly from studies, various universities conducted studies, and look at the characters of intelligent people. And we think when we only have one system of testing gifted children who would lead our industries, that's the only education system. But you realize to say some of these gifted students end up finding it, very difficult to fit in the education system, finding it, bored. Because if you look at one documentary about he's the father of Elon Musk. Elon Musk. The father spoke about his child when he was at school. Apparently, at one point, he called the teacher the word I cannot mention on air. And in most cases, he was called to school to say, "No, your kid is." It's not fine, it's insane, it's not concentrating in class. But I'll be able to realize that that child was already 5 years ahead of his generation. But you find those who are not picked up by the main academia or by the main school system. And in most cases, people end up finding it later, or they end up dying with their gifts. That's why we are saying not all learners who failed were not putting effort. Some were misunderstood. Some were not, understood very well by the system. Some were not given what they want in terms of right mechanism, especially when it's coming to educating them. That's why we have to make sure that everybody must be pulled to one direction. Those who pass, those who fail, and assistance is needed. And there's also this thing of we like negative things. If a person failed, does not mean that is the end of the world. We must understand that. And we also must also understand that one of the things that we should also teach our learners is building from failure. Building from failure. And there is this thing of parents who's, and also guardians who say, no, my child never failed from grade 1 until grade 12. Yes, it's a very good thing. But when that child is going to be tested at university or going to be tested or failed at work, that child will not recover. But we must be able to build this, at least thickness. To say life is not about flowers and roses, but it's about a battle. Sun Tzu and the greatest writers in terms of military strategy and also business strategy said life is war. And you cannot win war by winning all battles. Some of them you must lose them. But we must also get some words from that to say life is war, and we must teach our children to face life, because it's not only about roses. It's about hunger at some point. It's about fighting for yourself. And this is exactly what you need to instill, particularly to those who fail, and have a comeback strategy. Because I like people who fail and come back. I like people who fail difficult and come back. And I'm always very happy to work with somebody who failed. Somebody who understands life is unlike an A student who never seen failure, because this person does not understand life yet. And yeah, that is what's happening. And the other thing that is happening is, you know, the politics of South Africa. The politics of South Africa is it's quite a very interesting politics, because there is a statement here from Umkhonto we Sizwe. This is a spear of the nation. This Umkhonto we Sizwe. Umkhonto we Sizwe is, you can say, is the main opposition in South African Parliament after the coalition alliance led by the former president of South Africa, Jacob Zuma. And the statement is also interesting. People have been relieved of their post, and there is a new sheriff in town after the judge and the parliamentary leader was removed from parliament. And you can also see that just in the recent few months ago, the daughter of my president was also relieved of her duty. That is Dudu Zire, Zuma Sambudla. But the recent statement by Umkhonto we Sizwe here is indicating that President Jacob Zuma, together with national officials, the party has resolved to relieve Comrade Pianke Limba of his duty as Treasurer General of Umkhonto we Sizwe party. And in the same vein, the party has also, Umkhonto we Sizwe has also gave a duty or appointed Brian Morefe as Treasurer General of Umkhonto we Sizwe party. But if you look at the history of Brian Morefe, he's one of the corporate chiefs, former corporate chiefs in South Africa. At one point, he was a CEO of the Transnet Public Investment, and also CEO of Eskom, a very controversial guy. But he's a good understanding of corporate affairs. But going down and digging into the history, and on top of that, the statement here is also says that MK has also taken a decision to relieve Corin Makubele of her duty as a chief whip in parliament, and also the party appointed, Mabato Mokoena Zondi as chief whip and act in a caretaker capacity. Now, there's a lot of reshuffle, suspension, relieving of duty, and you don't know how things are happening. And it's the cut of Jacob Zuma there. It's the cut of Jacob Zuma. And we are yet to see, after 2028, how is MK going to be? Is MK going to handle the pressure? Are they going to maintain the party? Or it's going to change? And politics is very interesting. And looking at Zuma, a graduate of grade 1, the former intelligence operative, and also a chief of MK intelligence, who then became a president. He's a very smart guy. And people are regarding him as a political tactician. Some are calling him a political strategist, because when it comes to surviving in politics, there is no politician with survival tactics than Jacob Zuma. But let's see to what extent and how he's going to drive MK party. And to give a perspective in terms of an example, MK, this was formed just from the name of MK, the military wing of ANC. It's an example of somebody turn a plane into a different party. Just an example, not what it is. But yeah, that is a conversation in South Africa. Apart from what's happening in a global platform, I think the question that we need to ask ourselves, especially when you are moving in 2026 with new perspective while we are fresh, we also need to ask ourselves questions and also need to look at the aspect of Namibia informal economy. Namibia informal economy, to say what is the state of Namibia informal economy, to what extent is the growth of Namibia informal economy, and what support is given to the Namibian informal economy. Have we worked on the legislations that are protecting the informal economic operator? Have we looked at our Havana four-way yet, and look at the new mechanism on how to deal with those informal economic operators, those vendors? Have we looked at our stop and shop in Windhoek, and also find a strategy on how to deal with those informal economic operator? Because when you look at statistics, Namibia informal economy, when you look at the study by Bank of Namibia, you can be able to see that Namibia informal economy contribute around 27% there to the country's GDP, and that is around 13 billion US dollars. And in terms of employment, it employed almost 60% of the Namibia workforce are employed in the informal economy. That is why we are also asking a question, especially when we are going to 2026, or we are in the beginning of 2026, and you are looking ahead to say what are the new strategic mechanisms that are applied, either by BIPA, either by the banks, either by the government, either by the Ministry of Trade, in order to make sure that when you speak about informal economy, this economy is integrated, this economy is respected, and the operators in the informal economy are given support, especially financial assistance, training, and also space for doing business. It's finance, training, and space for doing business. And what are the new skills that are going to be integrated in the informal economy? Because remember, those who are not going to make it tomorrow from AS level, and those who are not going to make it at additional classes in terms of improving their subject, they are going directly to the informal economy. They are going directly to the informal economy, because at the current point where we are, if you are not able to make it at a grade 11, one of the best option is operating in the informal economy. And they are going to work in the informal economy, and the majority of the people are going to be absorbed in the informal economy. And that is exactly one of the things that should not be overlooked, but it should be looked with both eyes and see how many people are employed in the informal economy. We are not only speaking about Windhoek. Go to DRC in Oshivarongo. Go to DRC in the coastal town of Namibia. Look at the Walvis Bay informal economy. Look at Swakop informal economy. Look at the sellers of Kapana. And you will also be shocked to say most of the stationaries that are bought, that children showed up with at their schools today, most of these are not bought by money from the informal economy. Majority of the parents, majority of the money is coming from the informal economy, because that is exactly where the backbone of the economy is. And I'm very happy, especially with the new chief of Bank of Namibia, the chief of Bank of Namibia, who to me is not actually new. It's just an elevation of somebody who has experience in the banking sector, who has been there for a very long time. Mr. Epstein Waguta. And I hope he's able also to provide strategic direction to that extent that informal economy is recognized and these people are supported. I remember when Bank of Namibia was launching the report on informal market, especially last year. One of the things that Mr. Waguda stated that Namibia will no more operate two forms of economies, but one integrated economy. And we must respect the men and women, especially the Kapana sellers, the taxi drivers, the fruit vendors, and everybody who is operating in the informal sector. Because there is a standing report on the diagnostic of informality in Namibia. And it has shown shocking statistics, especially when it comes to what needs to be done. And also the difficulties that are stated, some of the difficulties that are stated when it's coming to the informal economy is the aspect of weak infrastructure. The aspect of weak infrastructure, lack of financing, and also, support. But in 2026, we also need to ask ourselves a question, especially if we go into the field and also look at those who are operating in the informal sector, to say, when this guy have been selling mapungu, this guy have been selling maize for 5 years, what changed in his daily operation, apart from maybe increasing the number of clients, apart from maybe him being known? What changed? Did he employ the one person? Did he get any financial assistance? Did he maybe expand his stock? Or is just business as usual? And if we really want to bring about changes in the Namibian economic landscape, we must be able to make sure that progress is progress. Slow progress on the informal sector is progress within the household, is progress within the inequality, and is progress within the employment in Namibia. Because it's not correct, it's not right, it's not good at all to only speak about statistics. Because when you read the statistics, you start to become very angry, to say, why do we speak about the same thing? Why do we speak about the same thing every time, but there is no improvement? How are the informal operators are treated within the city? Are the new generation of councillors that we have in Namibia having that in mind, having a strategy on addressing the informal operator? Are the investors too cautioned, particularly domestic investors, when it comes to operation and support of the informal economy? Those are the conversation that we need to look at, because looking at the increment in terms of number of unemployment, looking at the increment in terms of number of people leaving school, not leaving school for the sake of leaving school, but reaching a point where the system has to flush them out if they are not able to progress to university or tertiary institution. Then all these people, they end up at informal economy. When every day you are listening to news, you find somebody who is looking for an employment in the informal sector. But what progress are we moving to that? Because remember, not to make you angry, when you look at the laws which has to be amended, repealed, and the legal issues which have to be addressed, especially to smoothly reach the National Developmental Agenda of Vision 2030, we'll be able to see that openumba, there is a lot that need to be done, either in the cost of doing business, either in addressing duplication, either in putting the local authorities in order, either in making clarity between the functions of ministers, councillors, and local authorities, and so on. The list must go. But the main question is that are those who make sure that we have bread every day, are those who are operating tax shops part of the game plan of 2026? That is the conversation that we bring about. For those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is a business and economic segment with David Shombe, and we look at what needs to be done, how it needs to be done, and also what need to be prioritized in 2026, especially when you look at the informal market, the informal economy, the integration, to what extent, what is new, apart from the intention, apart from a good view, apart from acknowledgement, and also apart from getting the statistics on what need to be done. Ladies and gentlemen, we are continuing with the business and economic segment, and we are assessing the state that we are, the state of doing business, especially in the informal market. And you know, the bundle of joy is the young people, the children, the learners that you have heard crying, especially in the first days of school. Just after 11 years, they also find themselves in the informal market, in the informal economy. Informal economic operators, if we do not make sure that we improve the way we do things at home, if we do not improve the way we do the investment. And looking at the Villager newspaper for today, you can also be able to see that when you look at non-banking financial institutions asset, they pass over half of a trillion, that is over $500 billion dollars. And a trillion is just, it's not just chicken change. But maybe the question that one would be able to ask is that how much of that is invested in upgrading the poor? Talk about the insurance companies. You talk about pension funds. Talk about micro renting space. Talk about short-term and, you know, long-term loans. How much of that short-term and long-term insurance, how much of that is owned by Namibians? How much of that is invested and is benefiting Namibians? Those assets. And they hold a huge amount of money. How much of that is held by Namibians? Because if we don't address that aspect, if we do not deal with that aspect of, you know, upgrading the informal economy, bringing advanced technology to the informal market operators, access to finance to the informal market operators, I'm yet to see the practical implementation of BOA financial action tasks, financial, you know, transformation strategy, especially of on access to finance. I'm yet to see how somebody without a collateral will be able to access loans, how somebody with unregistered business will be able to access loans so that they can upgrade their service. I'm yet to see the strategy. I'm yet to see, you know, proper bylaws within the city, within towns, that we are not chasing our parents that funded for our schools. Imagine somebody who was selling Kapana for me to go to university, then I become a CEO, then I apply the same force that these people must be chased. These people must be chased. Even if you are, even if your parents are not operating within that town or that city, it could be that somebody's parents operating within that city. There are those women who have been selling Kapana for the past 20 years, but they still did not get any benefit, any training, any access to finance. And there is nobody who does not want to grow. There are people who have been operating survival business for a very long time. And we forget very easily, especially when you look at the disruption that the shocks in the Namibian economy have caused. If you look at the disruption and the shock in the Namibian economy, especially when you look at what COVID-19 have done to us, especially during 2020, to say more than 50% of the informal market operator, the SMEs, did not recover anymore, because that was a total destruction. There was no saving, there was no asset. If you miss your stock for 2 months, if your clients are no more employed, are no more able to pay you, there's no recovery, there's no backup strategy. then you are finished, you are defeated. That's why it's a question that we need to ask. And we don't only need to ask in terms of asking. We need to ask based on statistics and strategies to see when these corporate chiefs, when these heads of financial institutions come to us, the media, come to the public and present some good strategies to say, we want this Omatara to be effective, to be clean. We want these people to have access to finance. We want people not to be congested together. We have a strategy. We have this investment. Then the person disappear for 8 months. Then they come up with a book. We have conducted this study. This is what we are going to do. And you are asking yourself, who is playing with who? Who is playing with who? And what can we do to make sure that we do not fail our president, that who has communicated a clear intention to say there are no a big with in terms of where I want to go in terms of the country, is to say upgrade, improve, transform, create jobs, build industries, and values to the products, remove the bottlenecks, then improve Namibian children's quality of life. So, if that of which has been communicated by the executive is understood very well, now the question that people ask, whose role? Whose role is to transform Namibian from an economy? Whose role is to make sure that there are clear regulation which is accommodative, which is friendly, which can allow a person to sell without being interrupted, which allow a person to be competitive, especially those who are struggling, because the informal market is a way. If you transform it, that is a way. You have to build from it because it's already overpowering the former market. And most of the people are operating in the former market. Remember that you also be shocked who own those market, those shops operating in the former market. Who own those? What is the relationship between multinationals and, the informal businesses? Because remember, before, for a product to reach the village, it has to go through the informal market. Because they are at the edge of the operation of the economy. For a product to reach somebody at the village, just go through the informal market. In most cases, that's why one may want to ask the question of saying, when it comes to that aspect, how many, informal business operators are supported? How many are given access to finance? How many are transformed? And what can be done in terms of long-term? And, I like reading the report, especially when you look at Foreign Direct Investment Intelligence Report. They are always giving very good analysis, especially if you're an economist, if you're a political economist, if you're a researcher, then you read the Foreign Direct Investment Intelligence Report, you will be able to see the data, you'll be able to see the statistics, you'll be able also to see how concepts are defined. I was also shocked to look at what we have been really speaking about, especially when you look at greenfield investment. You realize to say, we may brag about, not really to say brag, maybe you may be proud, which is not wrong when you are proud of what your country is doing. You may be proud about greenfield investment. You may be proud about being number one in Africa and the second in the world in terms of greenfield investment, but did you really go into detail and define what greenfield investment is? Exactly what it has been stated when somebody say oil is not yours. Maybe green hydrogen is not yours. Until you understand that you participate. Until you come to the point that you have capacity not to be a hand angle, but to be a main participant at the center of those businesses. We realize that greenfield come with a concept of the right for somebody to come and establish a full business within your country. Then you find a way to benefit there. How can you control that person if you do not have the technical know-how? Your job is just to make sure that this person has green light and the regulations are within and is protecting your environment and this also employment created for your people. But you cannot have a say in the executives of his operation. Because if you want to read very well, and if you want to understand the importance of informal economy, you will be able to realize that most of the things that we are seeing are ours are not really ours. Because when you understand that, you can also be able to realize that I was looking at how Maduro went down. It did not just start yesterday. It started a long time ago. Study the economy, study the statistics. Then you realize that, touch people's resources, then you realize that you are not in charge. That's why today, at the business and economic segment, especially at the beginning of 2026, we are also not only analyzing and asking questions to say what is the state of our informal economy, we are also motivating those who are at the front line of Namibian economic emancipation, especially the taxi drivers, the bus drivers, the cleaners, the construction workers, the domestic workers, the vendors, and street vendors, the kapana sellers, and everybody who is at the front line, to make sure that we don't give up. We must also be innovative, because the world has changed so much, and there's a beautiful thing that is called technology. You can't be in business, in real business, and you don't have a smartphone. You're already behind, or maybe somebody must have a smartphone that is assisting, number one, in marketing of your product, number two, in effective communication within your stakeholders, which is including clients. And the other thing is also designing your product and also other form of communication, such as meetings, bookings, and all those aspects. Because look, if you go to the Stop and Shop, you will be shocked to say people may sell the same product, they may be of the same age, but there's always a competitive advantage. When you are saying, I'm selling maize here, a person is texting to say, I arrived. You just see two cars coming and take all the products. By 1 o'clock, a person is gone to get another stock. But you are just there saying, oh, I'm selling. Yes, you are selling, but do you have a strategy? You are selling the same product, but you just see somebody driving from Crane Venduk and go to Havana and buy his fraud there, not a fraud. Or what is called fardo. But because of advantage in terms of technology. And the other thing that we need to do is also consistency. And apart from consistency, also building of a relationship. I've seen one lady whose name is not going to be mentioned selling this clothes, fardo, secondhand clothes, clean, ironed. And it's just a different game. They are the same, but this one are cleaned, this one are ironed. The way she's communicating with the client, you realize to say to her is smooth in terms of doing business. And it's a lot to learn from that person to say it's in an informal economy, but it's doing better than a lot of people because she built a relationship. She is consistent and she is very good when it comes to dealing with clients and stakeholders. Maybe that is something that we need to instill, because that is skill development. Because what are we bringing new to informal economy? The student of business, they have a role to play. We cannot just say the banks. I know the banks, they can tell you at events that we are ready to help the informal economy, but the bank is a very good business who do not want to lose money. There's one lady man who spoke at, I think, Namibia Business Summit when Connie Ferguson was here. Say, no, she's from one of the commercial banks. She said, if your parents cannot trust you with money, who are we just to give you money like that? And she was very honest, and she's from the corporate area, to say, no, if your parents cannot trust you with money, do you think we can just give you money without scrutiny? Then you realize to say there's a long way to go. Free money is not everywhere. But at least regulations. At least respect of the sector to the contribution in the economy. Those are the things that need to be prioritized. Those are the things that need to be looked at. And those are the things that can take us in 2026. And also attending of meetings. There's a lot of information being given, and I don't know if it's distribution of information or not, but just ask yourself, because being from the media, you have a right, and you have actually a privilege of attending a lot of events, but you realize to say the attendance is not making sure. If people are speaking about informal market operator, where are the market operators? If people are speaking about, are making decision for taxi drivers, they are not there. They are making decision for bar owners, they are not there. They are making decisions for street vendors. They are not there. Then maybe in 2026, when it's coming to inform my economy, let us distribute information correctly. And I want maybe to give advice, especially with City of Vindukave, this thing of stakeholders engagement. Stakeholders engagement. And it's not only for the sake of formality, but engaging all the stakeholders. But when you look at the main stakeholders in the city, are the informal business operators. But they must be included if you want to move forward. Not only City of Windhoek, maybe other towns too. And if you have that aspect of stakeholders engagement, when we include people that you deal with on a daily basis, people that you fight with, people that you chase, maybe you can build a relationship, then you find a better way on addressing those issues. Because if the economy is not doing well, a lot of things can go wrong. But if we find a way within our difficulties on handling our Namibian pressure, then there's no way that we are not going to achieve what we need to achieve. So, dear listeners, we are almost at the end of our conversation. Make sure that you get time and opportunity to read the Villager newspaper for today. Make sure that you get the content and also context of the Villager newspaper, because there is a lot of interesting news there. There's a lot of information not to be missed. And remember to subscribe. Remember to subscribe. And your comments are always valuable. While we're at the beginning of the year, especially to the teachers and parents, make sure that you do not give up until those young one got placement. And let us respect each other. Yeah, because one thing I have seen is that, you know, during a difficult time, people, they end up to lose their temper very fast because the teachers are under pressure. The administrators are under pressure. The parents, they are under pressure. The kids are also confused. But you ask yourself to say, in a country where the population is not yet 4 million and you are already finding it very difficult to deal with each other, what will happen if the situation, if the number continue to increase? So let us apply that patience and find a way on making a way for our children to get into school. Because no matter the situation, no matter the economy, education must be prioritized. Nobody should be stopped to go to school. We must make sure that we are educated, because at the end of the day, we can be able to find a way on dealing with this issue. So from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. See you tomorrow at Early Morning Scoop. And sharp, sharp.